us today, and please feel free to welcome him and chat with him after the service.
Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings on behalf of the other 27 other Presbyterian churches in the state of Wyoming this morning. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew's gospel, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 20. Let us listen to God's word and God's word for us. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two or three on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. The word of the Lord. The writers of the New Testament have no romantic illusions about the church. Dr. Tom Long, who taught at Princeton Theological Seminary for many years and now is a professor of New Testament at Emory School of Theology in Atlanta, says this: they know the church is not all sweet thoughts, endlessly patient saints, and cloudless skies. People, no matter how committed, are still people, and stormy weather is always a possible forecast. Blessed be the tide that binds our hearts in Christian love. Even so, painful breaks can occur in once tender and loving relationships. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Nevertheless, sharp and cruel words can split a congregation into angry factions. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, but greed, lust, and envy can threaten to shake even a strong church off its footings. Then he asks, what happens when the menu at the church potluck includes unwelcome entries as rage, hatred, and betrayal? Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, addresses a church that's not in alignment with God. They're not in alignment with each other. They've hurt each other. They've strayed from the love of God. In chapters 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul lays a strong foundation for how the love of Jesus Christ overcomes the estrangement of sin, our self-preoccupation, our living out our lives according to our vision of life. In chapter 8, the Apostle Paul exclaims, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 12, after espousing a profound theological foundation, The Apostle Paul begins to bring it home. The rubber hits the road. For you see, the Apostle Paul knew that the Christians in Rome are struggling with each other. He knows that harsh startups happen in their conversations often. And he's not shy in addressing the issue. And verses 8 through 14, he says, in essence, shift your focus. Shift your focus. The foundation of your life together is set in Jesus Christ. Yet how easy it is to take that focus off of God's love in Christ and begin to focus on each other. It's easy to see the way that somebody else doesn't live out the good news of God's love for us. And so in verses 8 through 11, the Apostle Paul says, shift your focus. Shift your focus from the balance sheet. What does a balance sheet do? A balance sheet shows you what you have, and it shows you what you owe. It shows what are your assets and what are your liabilities. It shows what you've done right and what you've done wrong. And the Apostle Paul sums it up and he says, owe no man nothing except to love one another. For love does no wrong to a neighbor. I've been a pastor of a church, or was a pastor for a church for 26 years, and have been the pastor to pastors and coach for the churches in Wyoming for 6 years. I've been hurt by my share of people along the way. I know the thrill of victory, and I know the agony of defeat. I know how to keep a balance sheet. I didn't shift my focus off the balance sheet until I had sunk into what spiritually is called the dark night of the soul. I had been asked about 6 years ago to leave a church. I hadn't done anything necessarily wrong, except the church wanted to go one way and I felt God's call to go another. And as I slid into the darkness of broken dreams and a hurting heart, I was introduced to a practice called centering prayer. It's very simple and yet very profound. It merely asks one to be quiet, to be silent in the presence of God, as images, thoughts, and concerns come into one's perception, then one is invited to repeat a word of Scripture. Maybe be still or Abba Father. As I learned and practiced centering prayer, I began a journey of experiencing God loving me just as I am, in a way that I'd never experienced before. I kept discovering each and every day that there's nothing that I can do to cause God to love me any more or any less than God loves me right now. Great pain open to me an even greater love. And as I experienced the love of God for me personally in such a profound and significant way, I was then open to forgive the people who had hurt me so significantly. My focus shifted from the balance sheet to loving those who had hurt me. Dr. Lynn Sweet is a futurist. He's a writer. He's a speaker. He tells a story about going to visit a colleague at a university. He said his friend pulled up at the Phoenix airport in his pickup truck. And they went to the university where he led a presentation. Yet it was on the return trip that he noticed that the new pickup truck had two big scrapes by the passenger door. Dr. Sweet asked the question, "What happened here?" The chaplain said, "Well, my neighbor's basketball post fell and left those dents and the white scars." Dr. Sweet responded, "Well, how awful. You're kidding. This truck is so new that I can still smell it." The chaplain said, "Well, what's even worse is my neighbor doesn't feel responsible for the damage." Dr. Sweet asked, "Well, then, did you contact your insurance company, and how are you going to get your neighbor to pay for it?" The college chaplain responded, "This has been a real spiritual journey for me. After a lot of soul searching and discussion with my wife about hiring an attorney, it came down to this. I can either be right or I can be in relationship with my neighbor." He continued and he said, "Since my neighbor will probably be with me longer than this truck, I decided that I'd rather be in relationship than be right. Besides, trucks are meant to be banged up, so I got mine initiated into the real world a bit earlier." Has our focus shifted from our balance sheet of who's right and who's wrong to loving one another? The second shift of focus is how we tell time. The Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 12, "Besides this, you know what time it is." The Greeks have two words for time. There's chronos time that refers to chronological or sequential time. It's measured by seconds and minutes and hours and days. It's quantitative time. Then there's kairos time. It's the other way to tell time. It signifies an opportune time for action. In the New Testament, it means the appointed time and the purpose of God. It's qualitative, referring to the opportune moments. In 1985, a group of South African theologians wrote a response to the recent crackdown upon those who were opposed to apartheid. The document was called the Kairos Document, and it began with these words: "The time has come. The moment of truth has arrived." The document was filled with a strong sense that the time was now ripe for change, and small actions may have the power to change the path of history. And it did. The Apostle Paul was referring to Chronos time. He reminds the Christians in Rome that the time is right now for something new in their relationships with each other. And he says things like, "Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in quarreling and jealousy, Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The time is opportune to see God's peace, love, and justice live out more abundantly among you. So the Apostle Paul, I think this morning, offers us an invitation to shift how we tell time. You as a congregation have been through much. You are grieving. You're wondering how you'll go into the future. Some of you may have succumbed to perpetuating rumors. Some of you may feel angry. You may feel like backing off a little bit. But I think the Apostle Paul's invitation to you this morning is, this is an opportune time, a right time, not to step back, but it's a time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to engage in this ministry at the United Presbyterian Church through Logos or C4, to become involved in Family Promise or the other ministries of being the presence of Jesus Christ in this community. Your former pastor has left. Yet this is a Kairos moment, not just the time before an interim will arrive. So the invitation is to shift your focus, to shift your focus from the balance sheet to loving one another, to shift your focus and realize that this is a Kairos moment in your personal life and in the life of this community of faith. Let's shift our focus to recognize the rightness of these days. The Apostle Paul challenged the church in Rome to do so. How this morning is God challenging you? Amen.
Please stand and join in our next song.